Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Atlas Mara Q3 investor call. During the conference, all participant lines are going to be on mute. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question during this time, you will need to press star one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you all that the conference is being recorded today on Tuesday the 25th of October, 2016. I want to hand over to your first speaker for today, John Vitalo. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Can you hear me? Operator? Operator, do you hear me?
John, you can be heard. Just continue.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, depending on where you're based. Thank you for joining us on this call to review our third quarter results. I wanted to highlight at the outset that we're doing this call from different locations, so please bear with us if that leads to glitches in communication. I'm hosting the call from Lusaka, Zambia, where I'm spending time with the leaders who are integrating Finance Bank Zambia with our existing bank, ABC Zambia operations. Bob's in New York, and Irina McDonald, our CFO, and JP Crutchley, our head of investor relations, are in Dubai. Before beginning, I'd like to draw everyone's attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, which I'm going to take as read and acknowledged. Slide two sets out the agenda for the call. We're going to run through a short presentation and then open up the lines for questions. First, Bob Dimond, our interim chairman and co-founder, will say a few words. I'll then give some high-level thoughts around our performance year to date. Irina will then summarize the detailed financials, and then we'll go to Q&A. With that beginning, let me hand over now to Bob.
Thank you, John. My co-founder, Ashish Thakkar, is not on the call today. I am sure you will be glad to know he is on the ground in sub-Saharan Africa, attending meetings as we speak that are important to our mission. We will miss Ashish, and he wants to pass on his best. It's terrific to be on my first call as interim chair. What are my feelings about being interim chair? I describe it as a labor of love. Why am I interim? Very simply, London Stock Exchange governance demands an independent chair, and I can assure you that I am anything but independent. I am very involved in everything Atlas Mara. I have been very focused with a terrific board, and let me assure you, we will miss Arnold. His 3 years have been terrific as chair of the board. We have a great board, and we have a great management team, and being interim chair and leading this team at this critical time for Atlas Mara, delivering on the promises that we've made to you for 2016, but also laying out the plan for 2017 and 2018 and continued growth both in our business and in our share price, this is going to be fun. We also have to recognize that we're operating in a really difficult environment. We all know that. We all see it day in and day out. There's lower demand coming from China. The European banks are pulling out. There are weaker currencies and significantly weaker commodity prices. In terms of Atlas Mara, there are things, notwithstanding that we can control. It begins with our platform and our footprint. We have nine banks. We're in seven countries. We have closed eight of those banks in a majority position, and we're at 31% in UBN, the only bank where we're not in a majority position. In 2016, there were only two bank deals in sub-Saharan Africa. Both of them were done by Atlas Mara in Rwanda and in Zambia. What else can we control? We can control driving our performance. What you will see today is in the third quarter, we drove higher revenues. We're very focused on the cost cuts that we talked about, and we're driving organic growth in the areas that we can control, in particular, but not limited to, our markets and treasury initiatives and our digital initiatives. We're operating in an environment in sub-Saharan Africa that still has some of the strongest economic growth of any region in the world. And it has demographics to die for. 350 million people, the size of the U.S. population, emerging in the middle class. And it's those 350 million people as they emerge into the middle class, young, growing, tech savvy. They are the investors and they are the entrepreneurs that we will be doing business with over the decades ahead. So for 2017 and 2018, as I look forward, we have an opportunity to continue to drive organic growth and more efficiency in our current platform and to keep our eye open for opportunities as they come strategically. Let me stop there and hand back to John. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Bob. So, folks, this first slide, I'm now on slide six, or the next slide, rather, runs through the high-level numbers for the nine-month period. And what we're really pleased about is the continuing business momentum we're showing, with the profit in Q3 ahead of total first-half profit. The other positive features that I want to highlight include healthy growth in revenues. While that is supported by our acquisitions are obviously a key part of our story, as one of our propositions to investors, our ability to execute on them. But even after excluding for acquisitions, we delivered nearly 12% revenue growth on a constant currency basis. I'm also particularly pleased by the growth we've seen organically in deposits, which on a constant currency basis, excluding acquisitions, were up 5%, somewhat ahead of the loan growth excluding acquisitions that was up 1% as we managed down exposures in some countries and grew our book in others where we're more comfortable with the economic outlook. Turning to slide seven, as Bob said, we're facing tough conditions in a number of our markets. There are also challenging monetary conditions in a number of our markets. That's one of the reasons why we continue to focus on liability growth. So how have we responded to that environment, that really tough environment? Well, nearly every member of the Atlas Mara top management team has a second role in Bank ABC now, and the operating tempo is ferocious. We've taken nearly half the full-time employees out of Johannesburg and about 25% out of Dubai. And as a direct outcome, Bank ABC is running today very differently than it was prior to the changes I just mentioned. And a significant amount of cost has come out of what we call shared services and center. We're also very highly engaged at the country level. We've got a focus on delivering acquisition strategies in Zambia and Rwanda. We have detailed revenue plans that I personally drive with other members of my senior team on a weekly basis. And I am pleased. I'm pleased that these efforts are being rewarded by the better operational performance of the company. We're seeing that effort come through. Not that we're where we want to be yet. We aren't. But we're making good progress. Going over to slide eight, I want to turn to some specifics of our business. As Bob mentioned, we've completed two transactions this year, the first in Rwanda and the second in Zambia, where I am today. In Rwanda, the team are on a journey to make us the best bank in Rwanda, real simple. A universal bank, a key player in retail, SME, and corporate banking, as well as the underserved and underbanked segments of the population in support of public policy. You know, we bought the largest retail bank in Rwanda with an unparalleled distribution network, but it had a 100% cost-income ratio at the time, which we knew and we would need to address. We planned for that. And now we're implementing on that intent with a staff refit program across the bank. We believe that staff refit program will not only fix the historical inefficiencies in BPR, but also position it to access the terrific opportunities available in Rwanda going forward. And as is always the case when we deal with headcount reductions, staff matters are handled transparently, fairly, in accordance with all local laws and regulations. Now, in Zambia, we're obviously a little bit earlier in the process than Rwanda because the Zambian acquisition closed 6 months later, but we're making very good progress here as well. The top management team has already been selected. The top management team of the merged bank has already been selected from the legacy top management of our two banks. The cost synergies we expected when we announced the acquisition have been validated through our early post-acquisition work. We are working to a plan of completing the initial systems integration by the end of this year. Now, that's a challenging time frame, but one we're confident that we can achieve. And we think there's scope to add revenue growth by introducing new digital products and scaling up our treasury and markets operation here in Zambia. Turning to slide 9, I'd like to say a bit about our treasury and markets business. We talked about it with the Q2 results, so I want to keep the update going and give you a progress update here. As I told you at the Q2 results, this is a business we know really well. This slide, slide 9, summarizes what the business is about. Let me turn to slide 10 to show you what's been achieved. Slide 10 summarizes what's been achieved, which is remarkable. The change in momentum in our treasury operations in some of our local markets, in some cases where the capability was completely non-existent, and you can see that coming through the data on this slide. Year-to-date revenues more than double last year, quarter-on-quarter up more than 100% as well. FX trading volumes running at $1.4 billion year-to-date, 150% higher than last year. We're trading, doing their customer trades of 1,800 trades a month versus 800 a month last year. And all of that built by adding capability, capacity in our key markets to broaden the business and increase the number of clients we transact with. We've added 250 markets clients already this year, take the total to just under 1,000. We also see opportunity in building up our offshore African markets capability. By that, we mean the markets business in Dubai, serving multinational clients who want to do business in Africa or African clients who want to reach out to do business globally. This is a business we're really excited about. It's got huge potential. We'll keep you updated as we continue to make progress in it. And next, I want to say on slide 11, a few words about our digital efforts, another area that is just so exciting. This has been a quarter where we focused on getting building blocks in place, but we are very enthusiastic about the opportunity ahead here. What this slide shows is we've launched a new internet-based transactional banking service that's payments, cash management for our corporate customers in Botswana, and it's going to go live in Mozambique shortly as well with plans to roll that out across all our banks. Our point of sale business for merchant acquiring is now live in Zimbabwe and off to a healthy start. Again, you can look for that coming in other countries. We've also obtained acquiring and issuance licenses for Visa, MasterCard, and UnionPay in furtherance of our aspiration to ramp up the cards business. And our push into digital lending, making great progress with some partnerships agreed that we now need to move forward to turn into active business. Finally, before I turn over to Arena, on slide 12, I want to show an update of a slide we used at the Q2 results. This highlights some of the green shoots and the growth we're seeing across the business at the country level. This gives you a sense. It's meant to give you a sense of some of the feel of the stuff that's happening on the ground. I don't want to go through every bullet. I'll just highlight two. One is, in Botswana, we were awarded by Visa the Visa Card Warrior Award for being the leading prepaid card issuer in that country. Bank ABC Botswana, in the third quarter, set up new co-branded partnerships with Orange Money, with a leading life insurer, and with a savings bank in Botswana. And I want to talk about our Farmers Input Support Program in Zambia. We talk about being positively disruptive in support of public policy. This is a good example of it. In Zambia, when the Agriculture Ministry provides money to small farmers at the beginning of a growing season to buy seed and fertilizer, they used to have to carry bags of physical kwacha, cash, around the country to hand out to those farmers. But no more. Now they give them a Bank ABC Zambia prepaid card. And farmers can then go use those cards at agricultural dealers only to buy their seed and fertilizer. Good for the country, it's good for the farmers, and it's good for us. Now I'm going to hand over to Irina to go through the financials in detail. Irina.
Thank you, John. Let me start by summarizing the profit and loss in the first 9 months, as reported on slide 14 of the slide pack. We reported earnings of $4 million, and while that was down on the $7.1 million reported in the comparable period in 2015, the impact of weaker exchange rates year-on-year reduced profit by $5.2 million on a constant currency basis, mainly due to the depreciation in the Nigerian Naira and the Mozambique Metico. Total income increased by 31.4% on a constant currency basis, comprising of net interest income that showed respectable growth at 8.8% due to increasing margins and loan book growth in markets with higher yielding assets. Non-interest income was the main contributor to the good news in revenue growth, with a 55.4% year-on-year constant currency increase. This is mainly due to the notable increase in the treasury and markets business, as John has just shared with you in his update. Looking at the continued trend of client volume growth, this is a business that we expect will grow continuously, even amidst tightening monetary policies in our countries of operation. We were also pleased with the income from our investment in associate, Union Bank of Nigeria, of $15.8 million for the 9 months ended. UBN itself reports its quarter three 2016 earnings to the market tomorrow, October 26. The year-on-year increase of this associate income of 3% in US dollar terms for Atlas Mara was in fact 24% on a constant currency basis. The encouraging performance of UBN reaffirms our continued support to UBN's management team that appears to positively navigate the taxing macroeconomic conditions across all facets of the Nigerian economy. On slide 15, on an adjusted operating profit basis, that is, excluding one-off items and M&A costs, Atlas Mara reported a profit of $14.3 million for the 9 months ended, compared to $23.7 million in Q3 of 2015. Much of the year-on-year metrics are somewhat imprecise given the different phases of stabilization and growth post our acquisition track record, with some acquisitions as recent as 3 and 9 months and others at 24 months post-acquisition date. There remain many opportunities for driving growth to improve all financial metrics. However, allow me to note, and I regret that it is not all that clearly articulated on this slide, the cost-to-income ratio of 90.7% for the Q3 2015 period ending, excluding acquisitions, i.e., on a more like-for-like basis, reduced to 70% on an adjusted profit basis compared to the 79.9% a year ago. The adverse impact of currency depreciation on adjusted operating profit was around $4 million year-on-year. Turning to slide 60 now and focusing on the segmental reporting. These numbers include the two acquisitions successfully concluded in both our southern and eastern operations during the current financial year. This has supported balance sheet growth year-on-year with loan assets, as John mentioned, reporting a 22.6% increase and liabilities 31.5% growth in constant currency, reflective of our strategy to grow market share through both organic and acquisitive means. The segmental profit numbers, however, reflect the impact of integration, merging, and restructuring costs that generally leads ahead of increased revenue generation. The range of individual country performance metrics within these geographies reflects the various stages of maturity and improvement required. Net interest margins range from 3.2% to 14.4%. Some countries still reflect a small negative return, while others report a 19% return on equity already. We remain focused on execution and execution. Slide 17 focuses at the cost of funds for the group. We are pleased to report another quarter of declining cost of funds, a trend that we have managed to achieve every quarter since the beginning of 2015. The decline in cost of funds from 8.9% a year ago to 6.3% currently reflects the group's focus on targeting cheaper transactional deposits and placing less reliance on interbank funding. Our partnership with a number of development finance institutions has also contributed to the accomplishment of this goal. Our focus on increasing cheaper retail deposits is visible through a year-on-year growth number that I'd like to share with you. Retail deposits now comprise 28% of the total deposit book, up from 19% a year ago. This has been achieved despite market-wide liquidity shortages and the number of tightening monetary policies in the markets that we operate within. This continued focus will further support an improvement in net interest margins in years to come. I want to pause on slide 18 to say a few words on costs. At first glance, the increase of 19% appears substantial, and thus we have attempted to break down the components of the cost base in a more like-for-like manner. As can be seen, a large part of the increase is due to the acquisition of our Rwanda business that was completed in January 2016 and Finance Bank in Zambia, whose cost base contributed to this increase in Q3 2016, and neither of these cost bases were included in the comparable period for 2015. Excluding these acquisition costs, the revised year-on-year comparable cost growth is rather 6.5%, which compares well against average inflation rates across our markets, ranging between 5 and 15% over the past year. We were also net investors in people and infrastructure over this period, focusing both on top-grading our team and growing our products, services, and digital offerings. As John mentioned, we have an unrelenting focus on cost management. This is evidenced through the reduction in costs of $6 million in the shared services and center team, achieved on a run rate basis against the target of $8 million that we set ourselves to achieve at half year. We have also achieved an additional $4 million of cost savings on an annualized basis in our operating countries in the past quarter. Slide 19 provides a quarterly trend analysis of the quality of our loan book and the risk provisioning in place. NPLs as a percentage of the loan book at 14.9% compared with quarter 3 2015 at 15.4% remain above market averages, but have been steadily improving. The quarter-on-quarter increase reflects additional provisions taken in Zimbabwe and the inclusion of Finance Bank in Zambia in the third quarter. Given the extraordinary market conditions prevailing in Zimbabwe, if we were to exclude the NPL book that is under the watch of our special operations team in Zimbabwe, that remains focused on restructuring these assets and supporting the resolution of this book, the group NPL ratio regularizes to 10.7% for the quarter end versus 11.7% on a like-for-like basis a year ago. Our teams on the ground are in close collaboration with the Zimbabwe financial authorities, who play an instrumental role in supporting the banking sector as well as key corporate clients in Zimbabwe. We remain optimistic for positive progress in negotiating specific recoveries in Zimbabwe towards the end of 2016. We're also comfortable with our provision adequacy at 50.6% given the underlying risk assets. The credit loss ratio at 1.27% is relatively stable against last quarter's 1.28% reported and is well within our management's risk appetite range for the markets of operation. Including specific collateral held against the NPL book, the coverage ratio exceeds 100%. We've accounted for recoveries of around $4 million so far this year versus $17.5 million reported at the same date in 2015. We continue to focus on this area with the objective to deliver improved returns to shareholders. On slide 20, we reflect the business composition of the total customer asset book as it is now at quarter 3, 2016, and the broad diversification across a range of market sectors. Our consolidated banking business reflects a current distribution of corporate to retail at around 40 to 60% split. And on slide 21, we present to you the current regulatory, capital, and liquidity ratios across all of our legal entity banks. It confirms full compliance with local rules, which remain a key focus for both our country management as well as our team at the center. And with that, I will pause and hand it back to the operator to see if there are any questions from anyone on the line. Operator, thank you, and back to you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, you can press the hash key. Again, that's star and 1 for any questions. Thank you. Once again, it's star and 1 if you do have a question. There are no questions that are coming through. Please continue.
Operator, thank you. That's going to be it for us. If there are no questions, just like to thank everyone that's dialed in today. Thank everybody in the Atlas Mara Group for all their hard work and the support of our boards, shareholders, and regulators. And with that, operator, I think we'll sign off.
Thank you very much, sir. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.